strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about encountering Jesus in the Scriptures. The wonderful thing about Easter is that the whole focus of our faith comes into focus because Jesus is at the heart of our faith, and the Easter story obviously is as well. But I want to just take you 3 days after his death to the story in Luke chapter 24 and verses 13 through 35, and we will read from this text here. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the temple with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. 3 brief thoughts from this text. First of all, Jesus is the theme of the Bible. In verse 27, we read there, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." I love the fact that the theme of the Bible is not a principle, it's not a concept, it's not a set of values, it's not ethics to be learned, it's not spiritual sayings, it's not a collection of doctrines, it's not just snapshots of God, nor is it a storehouse of propositions. The theme of the Bible is a person to be known. Now, while there are many sub-themes in the Bible like justice and peace and redemption and salvation and restoration, there's a grand theme that starts in Genesis and weaves its way all the way through to the last book, Revelation. And it's the theme of the Bible around which everything else revolves. does the one who was, who is, and who is to come. From beginning to end, the theme of the Bible is Jesus. Now, some people say they don't understand the Bible. They don't understand it because the theme of the Bible is a mystery to them. Only when the theme is known do the contents become clear. Apologist Norman Geisler says, and I quote, "To understand the Bible, look for Jesus. Look for Jesus." Martin Luther, the champion of sola scriptura, scripture alone, said, and I quote, "In the whole scripture, there is nothing but Christ, either in plain or involved words. The whole scripture is about Christ alone everywhere. If we look to its inner meaning, though superficially it may sound different, it is beyond question that all scripture points to Christ." Here's where the rubber hits the road. Jesus is more than a starting point for reading, reflecting, remembering, and responding to God's word. He's the central point for the way in which we interpret the scriptures. In fact, it's Jesus that brings unity and coherence and understanding to our engagement with the Bible. He's the lifeblood, if you like, the very pulse of the Bible. He's the thread that secures, the one who knits together the unity of the storyline from the opening promise to the closing fulfillment. All this to make this crucial point. If Jesus made himself the central theme of the Bible, then to know the Bible, we must know him. Knowing Jesus, the prerequisite to encountering him in the scriptures. And to know him, we must align our hearts and our minds and our wills with him through confession of sin and contrition and repentance and faith in him alone. Are you tracking with me? You see, not knowing Jesus results in what we call a Bible engagement malfunction. In fact, any misrepresentation or misunderstanding about Jesus ends in a contortion or a complete collapse in our understanding of the Bible, which in the end turns in an inability to see Jesus. Dutch theologian G.K. Berkhouwer says, and I quote, "Every word about the God-breathed character of Scripture is meaningless if Holy Scripture is not understood as a witness concerning Christ." That's the first point. The theme of the Bible is Jesus. But there's more. Jesus isn't just the theme of the Bible. He's on every page of the Bible. You can go back a bit. You've leapt ahead of me on the slides. Recently, I've been hooked on a book by an author called David Murray, a Presbyterian seminary professor. His book is titled, "Jesus on Every Page, 10 Simple Ways to Seek and Find Christ in the Old Testament." Jesus on every page? Does that surprise you? Many Christians think that Jesus is mainly found in the New Testament. But that's not true. I love what the 19th century clergyman J.C. Ryle says, and I quote, "In every part of both Testaments, Christ is to be found, dimly and indistinctly at the beginning, more clearly and plainly in the middle, fully and completely at the end, but really and substantially everywhere. So why do we struggle to see Jesus throughout the scriptures? Well, maybe like the Emmaus disciples, some of us are spiritually blind. Or maybe, as we saw in verse 25, maybe we don't believe he's everywhere in the scriptures. Or maybe, as we saw in verse 27, we haven't had somebody, in the case of the disciples in the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself explained to them how he was throughout the scriptures. Jesus says in John 5 and verse 39, he says, "The scriptures testify about me." The scriptures testify about me. When he said that, he wasn't talking to anybody. He was talking to religious people. He was talking to people who diligently studied the scriptures. You may be people who diligently study the scriptures, yet most of the time you might not see Jesus in the scriptures. That's because there's a right and a wrong way to study the scriptures. The wrong way keeps us blind to the fact that Jesus is throughout the scriptures. The right way leads us to getting closer and closer to him, to seeing him as who he really is. Enables us to enjoy his awesome beauty, encounter his mind-boggling love, and enables us to come alive to him with every fiber of our being. Getting closer to Jesus, seeing him as he really is, encountering his mind-boggling love. I love to encounter that Jesus in the scriptures. So Jesus is the theme of the Bible, and he's found throughout the Bible. And thirdly, he's seen through the Bible. I love it when that story we read there in Luke 24 gets to verses 31 and 32. And we read there, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him." Note the phrase, "their eyes were opened." After Jesus had gone through the Old Testament explaining to Cleopas and Cleopas's friend what was said about himself, what happened? They saw him. Can you imagine what that must have been like? When they opened the scriptures were opened up for them to see Jesus. No wonder they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Here's the reality. God's word is unlike any other word. Amen. When we open the scriptures, we open a window to see Jesus. Now, in the context of our existence, there are two windows that we can look through. We can look through one window that helps us to see the world. And we can look through another window, and that helps us to see Jesus. If you look through the window to the world, like really look beyond everything you see in the foreground, you'll see nothing but worthlessness and pointlessness. The world's best things are painted nothings and false joys. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 2, "Everything is utterly meaningless," referring to what happens in the world. But when you look through the window of Scripture, Like, really look through. Like you've never looked before. You'll see the extraordinary, glorious, unbridled, beautiful, astonishing, magnificent Jesus. So my question to you this morning is this: which window are you looking through? Now, some of us try to look through both windows at the same time. When you do that, you'll get cross-eyed. You can't do that. To see Jesus, you've got to look through one window. You've got to give God's word your full attention. And as you do, you'll discover that Bible engagement is ultimately Jesus' engagement. So if Jesus is the theme of the Bible, if he's on every page of the Bible, and if he's seen through the Bible, what are the implications for today? Well, here we go very quickly. First of all, we should meet him in and through the Word. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your word gives light." You can bring up the first one there. Oh, it's disappearing. Now, most of us here may be Christians, but if we're truthful, we must admit that we struggle to see him. Maybe that's because we're not engaging with the word as we should. Second thing I see in the text, that we need to read the whole Bible, not just selected bits. With the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus did what? He started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. Reading and hearing the Old Testament with the spotlight on Jesus helps us see him and sets our hearts on fire for him. Thirdly, we should believe what we read and hear in the Bible. The disciples on the road to Emmaus were chastised for not believing. Oh, that's a low point in the story. In fact, if I read it in the Message, verse 25 of chapter 24 in Luke, Jesus said they were thick-headed and slow-witted for not believing what the scriptures said about him. Let's not be foolish like them. Fourthly, we need to tell others about our encounters with Jesus. What happened at the end of the story? After they had broken bread with Jesus, they rushed to Jerusalem. And in verse 35, we read they told what had happened on the way. When we see Jesus, God reveals himself to us so that we can share his story with someone else. Jesus opens his word to us. In fact, the very reason we are given the Bible is so that we can testify about him. Finally, we should be radically changed by our encounters with Jesus. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus were never the same again after meeting with him. Nor are others when they meet with him. In Acts chapter 9, we have the story of another person, Saul, who was later called Paul, who met Jesus on another road. He was traveling to Damascus. And in his words, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2, he says, "For I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." After meeting Jesus on the road, he was radically changed. Note the phrase in 1 Corinthians there. He resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ. Paul's whole focus after encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus was to proclaim first Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified, and that's what your life and my life should be about as well. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for the story that we have just jumped into. Help us to find our place in it. Help us, Lord, to see you throughout your word and to share you with others as we meet with you in and through your word. We thank you for this Easter season. We thank you that as we'll be celebrating next weekend, you are alive, you have risen, and we can follow you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.